Very much for leading us in worship this morning. Invite you to take your Bibles and locate Matthew chapter 2. Let's look at a fearful Christmas. Some of the last words we heard in Luke chapter 2 were "fear not." Key verse in the book of Proverbs tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The Bible says a lot about fear. It speaks to the uniqueness of this holiday season. Two questions. What are people in the world afraid of? And bringing it into your life at this moment in time, what are you afraid of? Wired into our DNA is the desire for joy. But as we look around, as we look in our lives, it seems that joy forgot to show up often. Let's look at the world outside of us for a moment and see how it connects in our life. What's the world afraid of? What are we afraid of? What are people afraid of? Evidently, lots of things. The list is long and seemingly unlimited. As I did a bit of a study this week on fear, I was amazed at how creative we are in being afraid. People are afraid of snakes, spiders, school tests. You might have woke up this week thinking that you had a test that you weren't prepared for, that there's a spider crawling up your leg and a snake coiled around your neck, and you're 65. Well, if you weren't afraid of spiders and snakes in school, maybe I'll give you a couple others and you might resonate with one of these. They tell me there's ophthalophobia, which is the fear of belly buttons. That may not be you. Perhaps you have arachibutrophobia. Just say it fast, they won't know. That's the fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth. One last one, hippopotamonstrosequiptophobia. That is the fear of long words. I definitely can relate to that one. The list is a bit entertaining in its weirdness and its wackiness, not making fun of anyone, but that's the world in which we live and the world in which we are a part. And you know, the fear factors entertaining in our contemporary Christian or Christmas culture. Just look at the Christmas movies we watch each year. And part of the theme that resonates through them is fear. Fear of missing the meaning of Christmas. Fear of missing out on the moments of Christmas. Somehow the fear of joy unrealized. How the Grinch stole Christmas. No joy there. Frustrated that everybody besides him is enjoying joy. Home Alone 1, Home Alone 2, Home Alone 3, Home Alone 17. The fear of missing out, fear of being left out. Even It's a Wonderful Life The fear of what may happen when life comes crashing down on us. Fear is a bit entertaining until it strikes a nerve close to home for any one of us. We all want joy. We all want to miss out or to experience the greatness of life. And wired into every one of our lives is the concern that Christmas could be an unmissed joy. The possibility of missing out on the joy of Christmas, that's an uneasy feeling. It's also a universal threat that lands on the doorstep of every one of our lives. As we look into the Word of God this morning, as we look into eternal truth, there is hope. We can face any fear. We can face Christmas fears, all Christmas fears, with success in victory. And here's the key. The key, Christmas joy is found in Jesus Christ. And now is the time to embrace the joy of Christmas, the Jesus of Christmas, the Jesus of Scripture. Well, if you're bent on, committed to, focused on missing out on the joy of Christmas, I've got three strategies from the Word of God, reflected in the Word of God. Three strategies. If you aim at these strategies, you will miss the joy of Christmas. So if that's your target, let me help you out a bit here. Strategy number one, in Matthew 2, verse 4 to 6. Strategy number one. We'll jump in at verse 1. Matthew 2, 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We saw a star in the east. We've come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. When Herod's troubled, everyone's troubled. All Jerusalem is troubled. He's a brutal tyrant. Herod gathered all the chief priests, scribes, and inquired of them where the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah, was predicted to be born. Here's strategy number one. Ignore the baby facts. A couple words jump out at us as we slip into this text this morning. One word starts with a W. It is the word worship. These wise men, these magi, were seeking out the baby, the one who had been born, for a purpose, worship. They interact with some people, Herod, King Herod. And what does King Herod do? He reaches out to the scholars of the day. As we look at these couple of verses, worship and scholars jump out at us. When you hear the word scholar, we often think of smart people, intelligent people, the ones you want to sit next to in class or be your lab partner. But smart people are not always wise people. Doesn't mean wake up every day and, man, how dumb can I be? That's my target. But people who know facts may not be the wisest people on the planet and in history. And smart people can miss out on the joy of Christmas. Herod reaches out to, it gives us a list there, priests, scribes. These are religious leaders of the day, political leaders of the day, economic leaders of the day. And they get the answer right, and they lay an egg in the process. You see, heaven has just invaded earth. Comprehend that over the next couple of days. This is a big deal. This is one of the biggest moments in all of human history. God has invaded earth. He came all the way down to us and for us. Galatians 4, in the fullness, in the perfect time of heaven, God sent forth his Son. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, we read this. Christ, though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Christ didn't hold on to the outward expression of his eternal attributes. He laid many aside, coming down to this earth for us. This is a blow the shoes off your feet moment in history. God came down for us. He came down for you. Not for his sake, but for our sake. The world is so messed up, and we are so messed up. If God didn't come down, we would forever be messed up. But there's hope, because God, in his compassion, in his mercy, came down, invaded history and our life. Herod asked a good question. And his answer, guys, answered correctly. They knew the right answers. And they give us the answer. In Bethlehem, Judea, in the land of Judah. And there's the prophecy, Old Testament prophecy right there. Give them the facts. And that's it. Do you see anywhere where anybody in this conversation moves after the answer? It's only 6 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. That's a shorter distance from the church to my house. That's all it would take for any one of those guys in that conversation, it might have been a few girls, to go check out the big deal. They just ignore the baby facts. Unmoved personally. Uninterested in the good of others. I mean, if the Messiah has come to earth, that affects my neighbor. That will have a bearing on the person I work next to at school or on the job site, study with. It affects everyone. They're unmoved personally. They're uninterested in helping anybody else out in life. Just take a glance at Christianity as a whole, true Christianity, biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity is interested in other people. When they're struggling, when they have difficulties, when they're hurting. The folks in this first conversation, unmoved personally, uninterested in other people's needs, and they ignore the fingerprints and the footprints of evidence. The fingerprints of Old Testament prophecy, the footprints of Jesus Christ. They ignore the evidence that Jesus Christ is the baby of all babies because he is the God-man. Fully God, fully man, one person, Jesus Christ. May we never forget that Christianity is evidence-based. One of the reasons we gave you this book as a gift for Christmas, four key evidences for the identity of the baby in the manger. Christianity is evidence-based. It is also a movement. Christianity is a movement of movement. If you don't get anything else this morning, take this thought with you. We move because Jesus moved. We move in our life because Jesus moved out of heaven down to earth for a time, for our benefit. Christians are movement-oriented. Take a look at your life. Here we are at the end of the year. Over this last year, oh, it's been another weird year, another challenging year. But look at your movement of gathering together with the body of Christ, of growing together. You need the body of Christ for accountability, for support. And we need to move in taking eternal truth out into our world around us. What are we all about? Gathering together, growing together, and going together in the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ is the God-man, and that makes all the difference in the world. We're going to stick in Matthew 2, but let me go back to Luke chapter 2. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. The good news, the great joy is there for us to see, observe, wrestle with. I encourage you to trace the lines of evidence and move to Jesus every day in your life. Well, if you want to move, miss out on the joy of Christmas, well, choose to ignore the baby facts. Here's another way that you can just totally miss the joy of Christmas this year. Ignore the king facts. Jesus Christ is the baby of all babies. Jesus Christ is the king of all kings. Herod the king heard this. He was troubled because he was concerned about his personal throne. So he secretly calls the Magi in a bit of interrogation. Then in verse 16, when he saw that he'd been tricked, he became enraged and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in the vicinity, 2 years of age and younger. The first strategy we looked at, there was a word that jumped out at us, the word worship, and the word, that S word. Here's another S word, sovereign. We got smart, now we've got sovereign, king, ruler, leader. And as we watch Herod the king wrestle with this situation that has landed in his lap, here's a guy who's consumed with being in charge and who is going to learn that he really is not in charge at all. In verse 19, we read, Herod died. Here's a man-made king who's afraid of the ultimate king of his life. He responds with jealous fears, agitated panic, defiant, blatant hostility, and goes into aggressive attack mode against anything connected with God. You want to miss out on the joy of Christmas? Ignore the king facts. May we all remember human leaders sit on extremely skinny thrones. There is only room for one king on the throne of our life, and his name is Jesus. Some questions start circulating in my mind. What have I done and am I doing with the baby of Christmas? What have I done and am I doing with the king of Christmas? Jesus Christ is the King of all kings, including every moment in your life this last year. He will always be on the throne, and that brings great calm and comfort to anyone who is a Christian. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. There is born for you a Savior. May we surrender to our King in grateful celebration. How to best miss Christmas? Ignore the baby facts. Ignore the King facts. One last strategy. Invest in busy stuff. Invest in busy stuff at the expense of the best stuff. In Luke 2, we find a lot of busy people heading to the census, participating in the census, doing what they were called to do in obeying the government. In verse 15, let's look at a group who in the busyness of the moment didn't miss the baby and the King of the moment. The angels had gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds began saying to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry, and found their way to Mary and Joseph. When they'd seen this, they made known the statement which was told them about this child, and all who heard it wondered at the things that the shepherds told them. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for what they'd heard and seen. Then we come back to Matthew 2 and we look at the Magi in verse 9. They went their way, followed the star until it stood over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After they came into the house, seeing the child and his mother, they fell on the ground and worshiped the child. Worshiped him. Two groups early on, Herod and his smart people. Now another group, shepherds and magi, who come at different times, one right after the birth, one a little down the road. But these two groups, what do we see about them? Worship, worship, worship. Notice their fear. It was repeated, the shepherds were afraid as they dealt with the angels. But notice their fear, notice their focus, notice their movements. As you're filling it in there, their movements of hurry, their movements of heart. Hearts of worship and hearts of worship reflect celebration and sharing. A big group of smart people, connected people, positioned people were not wise. And they miss what Christmas is all about. Another group, they were kind of the lower end and the upper end of the culture. But both of those groups reflect worship, reflect celebration. And they don't hold it in, they let it out for everyone else in their sphere of influence. So it challenges me. What am I afraid of? What am I focused on? Where are my movements taking me, and how do they affect others? And where does Jesus Christ fit in? You know, we started talking about fears, all kinds of fears, and at least for me, some funny fears. As I was investigating this long, long, long list of fears, one article I read talked about the five primal fears of all people. I had no idea what primal was, so I went and looked it up in a dictionary. Five chief, top, prime fears. They were trying to boil it all down. And this is what they said. The five chief fears of all people: fear of abandonment, loss of identity, loss of meaning in life, loss of purpose in life, and the fear of dealing with sickness, pain, and ultimately death. You know, you look at those five potential fears, you take it for whatever it is. I mean, we can see that in our world. It probably connects in some way in our life. But do you notice something? A relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ as Savior, Lord, and King of our life addresses every one of those fears. Because he is the answer to all our fears. He's the answer to Christmas fear. He's the answer to the emptiness in our life. He is the reason that we celebrate anything and everything in life. Jesus Christ and his scriptures speak to every one of those five key concerns. We can face all of our fears, all of our Christmas fears, with success, in victory, because Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. Christmas joy is found in Jesus, and now is the time to embrace this joy. Let me give you two action steps to shoot for this week, to work on this week. Share your joy, your Christmas joy, with someone. It's why you're still here on this planet at this time. There is someone for you to talk to. They're running around out there. God will help you find them. But we need to kind of get up and get out there and be the hands and feet of Jesus. Look for someone to share your Christmas joy with this week. I don't have all the answers, but I know that Jesus is real and he is the solution for every situation we find ourselves in. Also, as we think of others, we think of ourselves. And I could go down a list, and there was hundreds of options on the fear list. There's one that strikes fear in our life, and no one else may know it. And we may even be a little fuzzy, but there's something that we're concerned about, frustrated about, fearful of. Let me encourage you to come to the Word of God. You can look at the back in your Bible, there's a concordance, list a bunch of subjects alphabetically. There are easy ways to find scripture that connects right with that issue that you're going with, or that you're struggling with. Find the promise of God. Embrace the promise of God. Read through that promise every day a couple times. Face your fear with the promises of God's word this week. Well, where are we at? What are we going to think about and focus on over this next week? With all the questions we began with this morning, let me ask you this question. When you hear the word Jesus, or the phrase, Jesus is the baby of all babies, God in human form, Have you connected with that? Do you understand how much you need this baby in your life? This baby died for you. He did what you cannot do, which is take care of your sin problem. We're called to admit we're sinners, believe Jesus is the solution, receive the gift that he offers to us in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is your king. That means he's to be the Lord and the Lord of everything. So what are you holding back? You know, you can hide stuff from me. You can hide stuff from the person next to you, sitting in front of you, sitting in back of you. The rest of your family, you can hide stuff from. We're all good hiders. You know, we can't hide anything from God. And he doesn't want us to act like we're hiding anything from him. In fact, he wants to kick open some doors and come in and deal with the situation on your behalf for your good. So let me just ask you about the closet, the cupboard, the hidden spot. What are you going to do with it? I encourage you to turn it over in honesty and surrender to Jesus Christ right now. To embrace the joy of a relationship with Jesus, to embrace the movement of growth that characterizes a follower of Jesus. Father, there is hope when we come to the Word of God. Jesus is the reason for this season. Jesus is the reason for every breath that we take. And it is time to celebrate the joy of Jesus. May we do that by being connected with your Son as our Savior. And implicit in that is that he is Lord of everything in our life. And that is the greatest reality that we can experience. May we be smart people who live wise with our lives wrapped around Jesus. It is in his name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand with us as we close this morning in probably one of the most familiar Christmas carols of all time. As we sing it, think about how Jesus Christ invaded history and invaded your history, and then what is the appropriate response in that? Not simply fear, but celebration and sharing. Let's sing together as we close.